Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
The KKK is planning an attack.
How do you propose to make this investigation?
We'll establish contact over the phone.
We'll need a white officer to play me when they meet face to face.
You for the white race, Ron?
Oh, hell yeah.
So there becomes a combined
Ron Stallworth.
Can you do that?
With the right white man, we can do anything.
When's the last time they let a rookie lead an investigation? Oh, that's right. Never.
Okay. Become his friend. Let's get invited back.
So what kind of stuff do you guys do?
Cross burnings, marches. This is fixing to be a big year for us.
You ask too many questions. You undercover or something?
We must unite and organize to fight racism.
Are you down for the liberation of black people?
Power to the people.
All power to all the people.
All power to all the people.
That's right, sister.
For you, it's a crusade. For me, it's a job.
You're Jewish.
That hatred, doesn't that piss you off?
You're taking this Jew lie detector test.
Why are you acting like you ain't got skin in the game?
I'm telling you, the wars are coming.
White power!
Black power!
Knights of the Ku Klux Klan.
That's us.
Stallworth brothers.
We're on a roll, baby.
That is a trailer of the movie with the unlikely name Black Klansman. We're going to be reviewing that movie. It is actually based upon a true story. If it weren't, I don't think anyone would be trying to make it unless they were trying to make a dark comedy. Pastor Ted Geese joins us on this Monday afternoon. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
If this were not based in part on a true story, would this movie, Black Klansman, be believable?
Probably not. I think that it's, because it's such a crazy story, even the fellow that it's based on, like the Ron Stallworth, the guy who actually lived out much of what you see on the screen, he himself thinks it's a crazy thing. I was able to see the film at the Palm Springs International Film Festival, and he was there talking about it afterwards, and they had a Q&A, and somebody asked him whether or not he still had his membership card for the Ku Klux Klan, because the whole, like, for people listening, this is a movie about a black police detective who joins the Ku Klux Klan in order to infiltrate it, but of course has to have a white officer do all the face-to-face meetings. He does everything over the phone, and then a white officer has to, like, be there for face-to-face meetings with the Klan. So they asked him, do you still have your card, like your membership card? And he says yes. He says that it was it's a unique memento of my time as a police detective, and he says that he still carries it on him all the time. And he says that if he's ever, like, in some sort of motor vehicle accident where he's, like, you know, in like really injured or dies or something, that he knows that by carrying it on him that some police officer is going to pull out his wallet and take that out, and they're going to have the weirdest story to tell, right? Because they won't believe what they're looking at, right? And I think that gets to the nature of the question you're asking, is that this is one of those the truth is stranger than fiction kind of stories. And so, yeah, I think that if this wasn't based on a true story, it would have to be some sort of comedic, like a parody or a satirical fiction to get, like, in order for it to be something that people could, like, grasp, I suppose. And there's some satire and there's some comedy in it, but that's the direction they would have to full on go in order for this to be believable.
So tell us about the plot.
Yeah, so the plot is that, you know, this Ron Stallworth, played by John David Washington, so that's Denzel Washington's son, he's a black detective in the Colorado Springs Police Department, and he's actually the first black detective in the Colorado Springs Police Department. So he's working with the intelligence unit as a detective, and this is like late 70s, so 1978. He ends up beginning this kind of almost sort of like a impromptu thing with an investigation of the Ku Klux Klan. So he sees in the local newspaper in, you know, this little ad that talks about, if you want information about the Klan, contact the Klan here. So he does. And then he accidentally uses his real name. And if he had not used his real name, then, you know, it could have been done differently. But because he accidentally used his real name, which he realizes was a real dumb thing, that's why he ended up having to be the voice on the end of the phone, and then having a white police officer play. And in the film, it's a guy named Flip Zimmerman. You know, he has not divulged exactly who the real person is who played that, who was that police officer in the real life events. But this Flip Zimmerman is played by Adam Driver, and he becomes the face to Ron Stallworth, to the Ku Klux Klan. So the film kind of follows this, you know, the investigation and, you know, their, like, the relationship between some of the police officers, him dealing with being the first black detective in the Colorado Springs Police Department is part of it. So lots of stuff about race-related tensions and relationships and things of that nature. And, you know, of course, it's a biopic kind of a thing. So, you know, they give him a love interest. And I think at the time there really wasn't anything like that as part of the actual events, but that was added in for it being a movie. And the whole film is put together by Spike Lee. So when it comes, like, the bookends on either side are kind of more politically pointed, but what you get in the middle is kind of a fascinating story.
You say that for the purposes of the film, the true story has been changed, modified just a little bit with respect to making the character of Flip Zimmerman into a Jewish character.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty interesting. So, you know, oftentimes when you go to see a movie that's, you know, it'll say at the beginning of the film, based on a true story, or based on actual events, or however they couch it, inspired by actual events, you're going to get quite a bit that's, or some things that are accurate to what happened. And then they will have done something to the script for one reason or another. So in the case of the character of this Flip Zimmerman, who in the book was called Chuck, this character was kind of tweaked to make him into a Jewish character by two of the writers that were the screenwriters initially of the script, like taking the book and the memoir and turning it into a script for filming. And that's this Charlie Wachtel and David Rabinowitz. And the two of them are Jewish guys. So they made him into a Jewish character. And I think this is something that in the end becomes a very interesting thing. And Ron Stallworth, who, you know, the events happened to him, and he, you know, wrote his own memoir. He gave them permission to go that direction with it because it kind of broadened the conversation on the race related stuff in the film, and he liked that idea of them sharing this thing, because the Ku Klux Klan is not very favorable towards Jewish people either, right? So then it kind of it was something that would bind the two characters, the public face and the telephone voice of these two guys, Ron Stallworth and Flip Zimmerman, in the film, bind them together as characters.
We are reviewing the movie Black Klansman. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest on this Monday, January the 28th. How does that addition to the plot, the Jewishness of this character, how does it play itself out? We'll find out after this. Another neighborhood is dressing up to be there.
just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
Give your spouse the gift of time for Valentine's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Call toll-free 1-866-827-0062 or visit thecleaningauthority.com. Forget the flowers, candy, and jewelry this year with a Valentine's Day gift certificate from our favorite cleaning service, The Cleaning Authority, 866-827-0062 or thecleaningauthority.com.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talking about the movie Black Klansman, Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Pastor Geese taught a course at Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, you mentioned before the break that the addition to the plot of the Jewishness of this character who has face-to-face interaction with the Klan members, how does that play itself out in the film?
Well, you know, there's kind of the first kind of hints of it is when they end up having Adam Driver's character, Flip Zimmerman, be the guy who's going to be this public face. You know, there's another fellow in the police department that says, "Hey, Flip, you know, you're Jewish, right?" And he says, "I don't know, am I?" Because what happens is that what unfolds in the film is that this Flip Zimmerman was basically... He's kind of like a version of like a nun in that he grew up with Jewish parents who just never, you know, didn't take him to synagogue. He didn't have a bar mitzvah. He didn't go to, you know, any kind of extra training, you know, in terms of his spiritual life, his religious life as a Jewish person. He didn't even think of himself as Jewish. He was Jewish. He knew that, but he didn't think of it. It wasn't really a part of his identity. So then when he's having to interact directly with the Ku Klux Klan, now he's put into a situation where he has to deny his Jewishness because he's getting peppered with questions. He's a new guy. And at one point they even have a scene where they do a lie detector test on him. The Ku Klux Klan does, or they want to do a lie detector test on him. And he has to speak about Jewish people in a way that Jewish people wouldn't speak about Jewish people. He has to deny his own people. And he just never, like, he didn't feel a kind of resonance with them, or he didn't even really believe in his, you know, in any of it. But then when he had to deny it, then all of a sudden, there's this interesting moment where him and Stallworth are talking, And he says, I'm Jewish, yes, but I wasn't raised to be. He says, I was just another white kid. I never thought much about being Jewish. Like, I never thought much about it. Now I think about it all the time. And I think that's an interesting element of the film. Now, this is in addition to the actual events, but I think as filmgoers, you know, sitting in the theater thinking about their own religious identity as Christians, you know, we know that our identity is in our baptism into Christ Jesus. So this opens the door for some fruitful thought about that, I think, for all sorts of people who might be seeing this film.
So how would you suggest a Christian approach this film?
Well, I think that, you know, a good thing would be to, like, think about that question, right? So some people who are going to see this film are going to be people who are regularly attending a congregation. They're involved in their religious life. You know, if somebody woke them up in the middle of the night and said, you know, like, you know, where do you go to church? They'd be able to answer, you know, kind of a thing. Now, you may have people who are going to see this film who you could wake them up in the middle of the night and say, you know, where do you go to church? And they could give you an answer, but maybe they only go a couple times a year, or maybe they haven't been there for years or whatever. And I think that the Christian watching the film might want to think about that character of Flip Zimmerman and then think about their own confession of faith, you know, in the public sphere or with other people that they come in contact with, particularly if it's with people who are antagonistic towards them. So, like, even in the early church, you have the lapsi where people would be confronted with, do you believe that Caesar is a god? And they would have to either say, I don't, and then face the repercussions of that, which could be anything up to martyrdom. Or they could just pretend that they think that he's a god and throw the pinch of incense into the brazier and carry on with life. Like, do they deny them their who they are, or do they embrace who they are and make that public confession of faith? And I think that that would be a fruitful area of thought for the Christian who watches the film. You know, and it really, in the film itself, this is kind of like a B plot thing. It's there. It's worth talking about because it's an addition to the film. Overall, the film is about, you know, the relationship that people have between, you know, white people and black people. And there's a spot in the film where literally Spike Lee is cutting back and forth between a group of African-American people, you know, chanting black power, and then cutting back to a group of Ku Klux Klan people going white power and going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on it. So it's not like it's saying that one is better than the other. It's saying that there's a problem in all of it. And the Christian might also want to think about the way in which they interact with people who are not like them. You know, are they going to be like God is, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love towards their neighbor, whoever the neighbor may be? Or are they going to, you know, try to get the upper hand all the time? And I think that's another area that Christians might want to think about when they're watching a movie like this.
Spike Lee is famous for being panned by the awards, especially the Oscars. How did this one do?
Well, he got nominated for Best Director, which is a big deal. It's also a big deal because he might, don't quote me on this, but I think I read something about him maybe even being the first black director to get the nod. It's for sure, for certain, it is that it's the first time that he got the nod in that category as a nominee. And the film itself is up for Best Picture. So it's, you know, this is a good thing. The interesting part with that is it's up for Best Picture, and there's another film that also kind of scratches that same demographic that's up for Best Picture, which is another film that we had done a review of, which is Black Panther, the Marvel superhero film as well, which was very much celebrated for its, you know, kind of pan-African cultural, you know, inclusion and So right now, this is kind of an interesting thing in the Best Picture category for the Oscars that this Black Klansman should be in there. Now, it was up for Golden Globe as well. So it was up for Best Motion Picture and also for Best Performance by an Actor and Best Performance in a Supporting Role for Adam Driver. But it didn't win anything. So it was nominated, but it didn't come away with any awards. So the question is, will that be the case with the Oscars? Now, the Oscars tend to do this thing where they will occasionally, they will reward somebody for a body of work. So because Spike Lee has been a just very active director, like going all the way back into the, 1980s, mid 1980s for sure. You know, they may be inclined towards giving him an Oscar, not necessarily specifically because of Black Klansman, although it's a good movie, but based on that whole body of work, that this is kind of like quote unquote his time, sort of a thing. So,
any pastoral concerns about the film?
I think that, please think about what you're looking at. I did actually a couple months ago receive an email from a listener to Issues Etc. who directly emailed me and asked whether or not, I was going to write a review about it. And I didn't get a chance to write a review about it. I'm really happy we're talking about it today. But, like when he saw it, he thought, wow, this is pretty fruitful material to talk about. So hopefully people will think about what they're looking at. And you do need to probably just comb out a little bit of the politics that are in there and not be too distressed by it. The ending of the movie is a very sharp kind of political point that it's making. And nowadays it seems like politics is edging its way into every aspect of life. So just as a living, breathing person, you got to deal with that. So as a pastoral concern would just be to Don't just watch it and then not take some time afterwards to think about it a little bit. It's well worth spending some time in contemplation.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
The latest Issues Etc. Journal has a very interesting Wittenberg Trail feature by Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. He talks about growing up Roman Catholic and all the steps along the road to confessional Lutheranism, and he happens to be a very faithful Lutheran pastor. Now, it's a good story to read, especially if you're considering Lutheranism. Subscribe for free to the Issues Etc. Journal at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button, enter your email address, and we'll send it to you absolutely free. When we come back, we're going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teves. Join us and other confessional Lutherans as we take a life-changing trip to Israel and Jordan this coming May. The deadline to register is February 10. For details, please visit trinityokmulgee.org. That's trinityokmulgee.org, all one word. Shalom, and see you in the Holy Land.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John's Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Emmaus Lutheran, South Bend, Indiana. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. And St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.